This is Ava Lambert recording a podcast about the human condition in the educational setting with Toby Lambert and the English educator at Mississippi School of the Arts. I prepared 14 questions for us today. Are you ready?
Yep.
Number one, how has your personal journey shaped your approach to teaching and understanding the human condition in education?
Well, my personal journey included great teachers as role models. I had some really wonderful teachers who helped me understand the impact that education can have on the human condition, because I was a somewhat troubled teen myself with some major personal issues, but I had this wonderful English teacher. His name was Tony Davis, and he introduced me to writing and reading, which really changed my life and gave me an outlet for the pain and anxiety that I was experiencing at that moment in my life. And it gave me a tool that I would continue to use for the rest of my life to help me cope and maintain my own mental health and clarity. So I'm forever grateful for those teachers who gave me those lifelong tools and also taught me something that I can be passionate about and that I can pass on to others. So what they taught me had such a great impact, and teachers often have a great impact on the human condition because a personal approach is necessary. Open-mindedness, approachability, differentiation, all that is key, and the knowledge and love of the subject will become apparent when all of that happens. And I saw how hard those teachers worked and gave of themselves to try to accomplish these goals with their students, and it's really inspiring, and I knew it was what I wanted to do.
Can you share a memorable experience that encapsulates the challenges and rewards of being an educator?
Sure, there are so many, but some of my favorites are when students with educational trauma finally open up to learning because they feel heard and accepted. Educational trauma usually happens when students are bullied or criticized or sarcastic comments when they ask questions. And this can happen from the teacher themselves or other classmates in the room. And if students are criticized when they ask questions, they tend to clam up and learn that asking questions is bad. And it results in bullying or snide remarks or anger from the teacher or fellow students. And so educational trauma is real, and it happens daily. And when it happens, as I said earlier, it can cause a student to feel like it's not okay to invest in their own learning and ask the questions that they need to ask so that they can be an advocate for their own education. And so when it happens, it's always really challenging for a teacher to take a student who's been through things like that and make them confident enough and comfortable enough to open up and start asking the questions and engaging in their own learning in the way that they need to do to be successful. So I've had lots of students in the past that had similar situations like that and wouldn't say anything for a long time when they first got into the class. And so one of the greatest rewarding moments is when a student like that finally opens up and starts asking questions and actively learning and participating and engaging and actually having fun through the learning process. And so that can be a really rewarding thing to see a student blossom like that and start to access their own education and advocate for themselves. That can be a really beautiful thing to see.
In your perspective, how does the human connection between teacher and student impact the learning environment?
That is, in my perspective, the most important aspect of creating a safe learning environment, because students have to feel safe and comfortable in order to engage and question. And those are two things, engaging and questioning, those are two things that must take place for learning to occur. So if you don't have that really safe learning environment and that approachability and the level of comfort where students feel safe to ask questions and make comments and discuss and be themselves, then the learning environment is not as effective. So if a student feels like they can't say what they need to say or ask questions, again, that's always a problem, and it's a barrier when it comes to education. So fostering that healthy learning environment where everyone feels positive and there's a good energy and discussion and questioning is encouraged, that creates the setting where students can learn best and education can occur in a really effective way.
In your opinion, what are the key components of a supportive and conductive learning environment?
One of the most important things to me, and what it all starts with, is an approachable instructor. To me, that's the most important part because it encourages that questioning and discussion that we need so desperately in order to create learning, but also to create a comfortable learning environment. Students must be relaxed and feel safe and heard. So not only approachability, but flexibility is important too, because not all students learn the same way. Also, when expectations and rules are clear and practiced from the beginning of the class with consistency, this creates a structured learning environment that's predictable. Structure and predictability are comforts that make students feel safe, even if they don't realize it. So having all those things in a classroom, approachability, flexibility, differentiation, structure and predictability, clear expectations and transparency, all of that creates a really positive and open and accessible learning environment for all the students and the teacher.
What aspects of the human condition do you find the most prevalent or impactful in the context of teaching?
Honestly, all of them. I'm an English teacher and a literature teacher, so aspects of the human condition such as life, death, love, poverty, violence, social constructs, they're all prevalent in most of what students read or research in my class. So through contact with these aspects, students learn empathy, which is a crucial human trait that must be fostered and encouraged. So it's very important that these aspects of the human condition are discussed and analyzed and acknowledged so that students can learn empathy and move on to be productive citizens and adults.
How do you navigate the balance between fostering individuality and adhering to educational standards in your teaching philosophy?
That's always kind of a delicate balance, but all students are held to the same standards and expectations. However, not all of them are going to arrive at those standards in the exact same way. So even though all those standards and expectations are the same and equal and fair for all the students, the way that they get there may vary greatly. So some students may need more scaffolding tools than others, or different styles of instruction than others, or more individual attention. This is called differentiation, and it's when a teacher may tailor the content, process, products, learning environment, assessments, or grouping in order to make sure that all students achieve understanding, even if it happens in different ways for each student. So basically it means that the finish line is the same for all the students, but the route that they use to get to that finish line, that might need to vary greatly. Learning is not just a one-size-fits-all process, it's very individualized. So that process is, it needs to be flexible, it needs to be adaptable, and it needs to be tailored.
What strategies do you employ to address the diverse needs and backgrounds of your students?
It depends on the student and their personal needs, but some examples are scaffolding tools like graphic organizers, note takers, individual help and offering tutoring, working on time management and helping students, you know, understand that concept by helping them prioritize assignments and plan for my class along with their other classes. Assessment adaptation or retakes, and providing special accommodations for those that need it. Some of these apply to some students, but others may even need the opposite, more rigor and challenge because they have a more advanced set of background skills. So it isn't always about making it easier. Sometimes it's about providing more challenges so that the student doesn't get bored. At a school like MSA, our students come from all over the state, so their academic abilities range greatly. And just knowing how to accommodate them at their different levels and meeting them where they are and doing what I can for them to get them to the place that they need to be is really important.
Can you discuss the role of empathy in teaching and its influence on the experience in the classroom?
Sure. Empathy is crucial in education, both to have as an educator and to teach to students. Educators have to have empathy in order to develop meaningful relationships with their students and also to understand their feelings and circumstances so that the teacher can differentiate and instruct in the most effective way. But empathy must also be taught, especially empathy for people and groups that the student themselves may never have been exposed to or experiences that that student may never have had. That can be done through literature, through discussion, through research. And so the process of education is also a process of developing empathy and becoming a human who embraces, you know, the human nature and the human condition for all people.
How has technology affected the human dynamics in the classroom, both positively and negatively?
In the negative way, cell phones can be very distracting and problematic, but if used effectively, they can also be very helpful. I found that a middle ground is absolutely necessary for technology. My students have desktop computers at their desks, so they put their cell phones away in the classroom while working. But I also request students get their phones out to use them in class for educational games and activities at times as well. So, and the computers themselves, they can be a distraction too, the desktop computers. But I have technology that allows me to monitor the computers, so where some tech distracts, other tech helps me create, helps me keep students on task and create interesting lessons and things like that. So, and also other technologies like Canva, YouTube, digital art, video games, you know, they've all revolutionized the creation of student projects. So you really think outside the box, you know, for projects and stuff when it comes to technology. I've even had students use Minecraft and Sims to do projects and stuff. So it's really interesting how they can incorporate different technology in very positive and educational ways. So the negatives and the positives of technology in education kind of balance out if you can find a healthy middle ground as an educator.
What challenges do you perceive in addressing the mental health aspects of both students and educators, and how can the educational system better support these needs?
Students' mental health is more important than ever, as more students are diagnosed with anxiety and depression and other mental issues. That's happening more and more frequently, and these issues often create barriers that must be worked around so students can thrive. Teachers are often teachers are often overworked, burned out, disrespected, and underappreciated. So self-care and boundaries become really important aspects of teaching and maintaining mental health. So both the students and the teachers have to consider the mental health issues for, you know, both sides of it. And some of the things that education really needs to help out with that, this is like social and emotional learning, techniques of you know, self-correcting, self-regulating, things like that, that are going to be tools that students can use for maintaining healthy mental health and a balance between stress and life and happiness.
Can you discuss the importance of fostering a sense of community and collaboration among students, recognizing the social aspects of their educational journey?
Collaboration is very important because that's a skill that has to be used in day-to-day life on a very regular basis, in the workplace, in future higher education scenarios, even in, you know, your personal life and stuff. So collaboration and teamwork is something that absolutely must be taught so that the student can be a successful citizen in the world. I'm sorry, I kind of lost track of that second part of the question there. Sense of community. Oh, right, yeah. So I was also going to talk about community service and different extracurricular clubs and activities that also help do this. Because the sense of community also fosters that sense of empathy that, like we already talked about, is really so important. So you want that sense of community. You want that sense of caring for others outside yourself. Not only just for your friends and classmates, but just the general community in the world around you. Because again, that creates a positive, well-rounded citizen. So we really want that, and that's a product that we want to instill in our students as we educate them.
How do you manage the emotional aspects of teaching, and what advice would you give to fellow educators?
Well, the emotional aspects of teaching can range so greatly. There are highs where you have happy moments in the classroom when a student has that light bulb moment or tells you how grateful they are for your help. Those are always things that create emotional satisfaction for teachers, and it's a large part of job satisfaction too. But there's a lot of negative aspects to the emotional impact of teaching as well. There's a lot of criticism, there's a lot of disrespect, there's a lot of people out there that think teachers indoctrinate students in negative ways. There's a lot of people that think that, you know, teachers, for whatever reason, aren't doing their jobs, or there's a lot of stress involved with the job, especially if you teach multiple different preps and classes, or if you're in a state-tested area, and you're having to deal with the pressures of testing and the pressures of a really demanding schedule. And if you're like me and you're an English teacher, you also have to deal with grading, you know, sometimes 100 essays, you know, in a short amount of time, which often can't happen at school because our planning periods and other things that we have in place for that also have to be shared with other duties. So a lot of times we end up working at home, and a lot of times we end up getting burned out because of things like that. It's hard to feel appreciated and respected sometimes as a teacher these days. And that also helps create a negative impact. But as I said, there's also a lot of positive emotional impacts as well. So it kind of balances out. But as a teacher, my best advice would be to set boundaries and to, you know, manage your time in the best way that you can, because oftentimes a teacher's plate is already full and then they pile something else on anyway. And that's just kind of the norm in education, because there's a lot of teacher shortages and, you know, there's a lot of duties that teachers have that don't involve teaching. There are a lot of extraneous things that we do that a lot of people don't even realize happen behind the scenes, but it takes up a ton of our time. So being a teacher would be so much easier if all we did was teach, but that's just not the case. And sometimes it can be very stressful and very demanding. And the pay, you know, I don't have to tell you, doesn't always equal, you know, what the job entails. But there's other satisfactions, you know, there's other emotional satisfactions. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, there are times where it's really satisfying. And also I know that what I'm doing is creating a positive ripple effect in the world and in my students' lives for now and for the future. So I feel like it all kind of balances out. But you really have to keep these things in mind as you're, especially as you're a new teacher and moving forward, because there can be a lot of shots to your confidence. You know, there are complaining parents, there are administrators who often are trying to, you know, please others, and that can be very hard. Now, at the school I'm at, I'm very lucky, but I've been at other schools where it can be a challenge to balance all of this and also maintain your own mental health and your own positive attitude. But in the end, it's all worth it. So I guess what I would say to future educators or fellow educators is, it's worth it, but you definitely have to strike your balance and you have to find your rhythm. And that takes time, sometimes even as much as 10 years. So it's a learning process for educators as well.
Okay. That is all of our questions. Thank you for giving us insight on being an educator in this era of time. And we're going to wrap up the podcast there.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to my podcast with Toby Lambert about the human condition in education. This interview has changed my outlook on all of my teachers' classrooms. As students, we don't care much about the teacher's perspective and how they perceive their classroom. I hope the students who listen to this podcast also experience a new outlook on their classroom setting. As students, think about how hard it is to be a teacher, have hundreds of responsibilities, and deal with the kids or teenagers they teach. Put yourself in their shoes.